Good morning. If you would, please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start there, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Tonight is our Lord's Supper, and so we're going to be speaking to that today, dealing with sin, dealing with the consequence of sin in our lives, consequence of sin in the church. And what to do about that. We don't want to just end up on a note at the end of service and not see how to deal with sin in our life and how to restore victory. So I titled this sermon, Removing Sin and Restoring Victory. Sometimes as Christians we get in sin and we get downtrodden and we become defeated in our own soul or things go wrong, and we seem to have a hard time getting over that. But there is victory. As Christians, we need to get up and move on because that is the call for our life. And so we're going to be looking at that today. Because the Lord's Supper should have us come back to the very root of where we are. And if there's something wrong in our life, if there's sin or there's some infraction, if you will, in our life, we need to get that straightened out because God is calling us to move. He is calling us to battle. He is calling us to be disciple makers of Jesus Christ. And if we have sin in our life, we have come to this awful place where we have just got stuck. And we're unworthy, really, at that point. We're an unprofitable servant. So let's read this first couple verses, then we'll pray, and then we'll roll right into this. Verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or ye drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So the very first thing that Paul's telling us here in these last two verses of chapter 10, before we get to chapter 11, is whatever you do, whatever I do with my life, you do that to the glory of God. Everything. It does say all. That means everything. Nothing escapes that. Do all to the glory of God. You have to stop and ask yourself this question. Everything that I do in my life, is that giving God glory? Because you know how it is. I want the glory. I want to be recognized. But we must decrease, right? Do all to the glory of God. Verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, to the Gentile, nor to the church. No offense, my friends. To the Jews, the lost world, or the church, no offense. Your life should be giving glory to God. My life should be giving glory to God. And our life should not be offensive to the Jews, the Gentiles, or your brothers and sisters in the Lord. If your life is offensive, especially to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, my goodness, there is something wrong. Verse 33 goes on to say this, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, that's because it's always about me, isn't it? But Paul says, but it's the profit of many that they may be saved. So it wraps up with these three things in 31 and 32 and 33, is our lives are to be about giving glory to God in everything we do. Our lives had better not be offensive, and our lives had better be about the mission of Jesus Christ. And that pretty much wraps up what we're doing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we unpack these verses today and look at sin in our life and things that weighed us down and set us off track, and we cease to give you glory, we cease to run the race that's in front of us, or our life becomes offensive to the body or even to the lost, Lord, please convict us today of those areas in our life. Help us to be real with ourselves, be real with you, be real with ourselves, and come to a point in our life where we can, today, where we are clean before you, where we have confessed our faults, where we have confessed our sins before you, where we are able to remove that sin in our life and confess that sin to you and then restore the victory so we're able to re-engage in the battle. So, Lord, I just love you. I pray that you use me as a vessel to speak today. Help my lips to be clear and my thoughts to be precise and not jumbled. And I pray that your Holy Spirit guides all of us to hear you and hear from you and to change us. So, Lord, we trust you with that. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading a book this week, and I read the whole book, like 200 pages. And there was one line. It's a pretty good book. There's nothing really wrong with the book. And it, I learned a lot of things from the book. But there was one line, one sentence that God brought to my attention while I was reading that book. And this is basically what it says. It was talking about making disciples, and it kind of fits into what we're talking today. It says, Are you willing to leave the playground and enter the battlefield? Are you willing to leave the playground of life and enter the battlefield? And that's what we're doing. We're entering the battlefield, but sometimes we get pulled off the battlefield because of sin in our life. There's that offense. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll just kind of skim through this. I want to show you some high points talking about the Lord's Supper in verse 23, and this will be covered tonight, I'm sure. So, and you know this passage, but I just want to point out a few things here. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord." So right up front, we know that this comes from Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. This is from the Lord. Now, of course, all the word is from the Lord, but it's just pointed out here that Paul says, look, I received this from the Lord, "that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he brake it, and he said, look, you need to take this. Take this, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you." This is focused on the body of Jesus Christ being broken for you and for me. It's not your body. It's not the hardships that you suffer. It is about the body of Jesus Christ being broken for you and for me. Now go down to verse 25. "In the same manner he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood." In my blood. Verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till I come." So far, everything here is focused on Jesus Christ. It's his body that's broken for you. It's the New Testament that's in his blood that we would drink, but it's for you. It's for me. And when we do this, it's to show his death till he comes. 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." This word unworthily is to be irreverently, not to have reverence for Jesus Christ, not to have reverence for his broken body, not to have reverence for his spilt blood for you and me. And then we take the Lord's Supper with this half-baked attitude or with sin in our life and not regarding that it was his body and his blood that was for us. And we go through this life sometimes beat down by sin, and we don't reverence the Lord Jesus Christ. On the front of this table, it says, "In remembrance of me." If you go back and you look at verse 24, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." In verse 25, it says, "In remembrance of me." See, it's not about you, and it's not about me. This is about Jesus Christ. Your life, my life, we should always be remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you. We look at this every day. in remembrance of me. If the only time we think about Jesus Christ, the Lord of our life, is when we come in here, there's a lot of time that goes by during the week that we aren't focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say this. If you go down to verse 30. For this cause, because we have taken it without reverence, it's irreverently, that's what that word means, unworthily. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. And many, see, it's not just a one-off, it's not one of those deals where it's just one in a million. It's not just like the Bible says, well, there's just one, once a century, we have one Christian that's not remembering and they're doing it this way. He says, many, many, many are weak, many are sickly, and many sleep. You know what that does to the body of Christ? Just one. Because we're all in this together. We're all His body. And just one that takes the Lord's Supper, just one that is weak and stuck in sin, just one that is spiritually sick. It's like the flu in the wintertime. It spreads. Because murmuring kicks up. Somebody had to be the first murmurer in the wilderness, right? Somebody had to be the first one that says, man, if we just had something to eat, where's God at in all this? And then it just spread like wildfire. And then the mission, we saw back in chapter 10, that the mission of God, that it's to that our lives are to profit many. Not me, it's not to profit me. This doesn't say in remembrance of me, like me, but it's in remembrance of Christ. It has to be at the forefront. And you know, here's how selfish we get. And this is just my own confession. When I read this before the Lord's Supper, I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be sickly. I don't want to die because but it's always about me. Because I don't want to go through that. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to get sick. But I never really stop and think, I don't want to be sick because it hurts the mission of God. I don't want to get sick because it hurts me. I don't want to be weak because it looks bad on me. Well, I definitely don't want to die. I'm not ready to do that. So I better clean up and confess my sins to God so it's about me. But if you think about it and you really get serious about God, it's still not about you. It's about being healthy, being strong, being focused on God's mission so you can run the race that He has for us. It's to reset our hearts so that we get in tune with the mission that He has for us so we can profit many so that some might be saved. That's our mission. But if we sit around and we're sick and we're weak and we come in and we're like, it's just about me and I don't want to be sick, then we're still off kilter with it. Okay, so we need an example. Turn back to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7. I'm going to make the assumption that we know this story, and I don't really have time to build it all up because we'd missed the main point here. So we're going to kind of go through it, skip from verse to verse kind of, but we got to hit some high points here so we can get down to the bottom of this, because we have to leave restoring victory in our life. Verse 27 in chapter 6 says this. So the Lord was with Joshua. Did I say Joseph? I meant Joshua. Sorry, I do that sometimes. Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And so this is right after Jericho, and they'd had this huge victory. And God did a mighty work, and now they're in the land, right? And chapter 7 starts off with this crazy word that you find in the Bible, but. But the children, right after 27, when everything is so good and Joshua's fame is throughout the country, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. There was sin in the camp. One person out of all the children of Israel committed one sin. There was sin in the camp. Committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Go down to the end of verse 1 there. It says, and the anger of the Lord was against the children of Israel. Achan was the one that committed it. You know that. But God's anger was kindled against the children of Israel. One person, one sin, it impacts the whole body. I don't want, honestly, I do not want that on my head. I don't want that on me, that my sin prevents this body of Christ from moving forward. That's serious. I mean, if you can sleep with that at night and you're openly sinning and you're like, I can get away with this, nobody's ever going to know. It doesn't hurt anybody. That's not true. Achan, his sin, he hid it. He buried that thing. And we'll look at that. But God knew, and God's anger was kindled. Verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven in the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and returned to Joshua, and said unto him, let not the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people go up to labor, for they are few. There's something, it doesn't seem like this passage, there's anything really wrong with it, but there's something that's really went wrong here. And I don't know why. I've thought about this. I have no idea why Joshua did this. He did not ask God if he should go up. He didn't get the confirmation of the victory. He didn't ask him when he should go. Maybe God allowed him to do that to expose the sin in the camp. I don't know. I really don't know. But we do know that you should always ask God before you go to battle. We should get direction from God in what to attack. Ai means, the house of ruin, or a place of ruin. And then the other one, this is crazy, these names. Bethaven is a house of vanity. And so these cities, these Ai and Bethaven, it's a house of ruin, or a heap of ruin, in a house of vanity. And they're headed right up there. And he didn't ask God if he should go. And you know the story, you know what happens. They go up there and they get beat. And people die. People die because of Achan's sin. The battle was lost. They didn't have any confidence. They get up there. This is the results of sin. You get up there and you run into the enemy, and what did they do? They turned around and they left. They just ran. They didn't even fight. They just took off and started running, it says. Sin causes us to have lack of confidence. It says in verse 4 that they fled from the men of Ai. In verse 5, it says that they smote them, about 36. They chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim. Shebarim means to be torn. There's a lot in God's words, isn't there? It means to be torn. They were rent. I mean, there was 3,000 of these guys. 36 of them are smote. They killed them. And it says that they were rent at this place. They were torn. Man, what? Why would I want my sin, and if I don't get it straight with God, to tear the body where it can't go and face the enemies, and we just take off running? Man, what? Sin is so bad. It says, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Became as water. Turn over to Numbers chapter 5. Hold your place here. We'll be right back. I just want to show you something. Numbers chapter 5. Verse 1. Numbers chapter 5, verse 1. Because this is ultimately what has to happen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and we know that's a picture of sin, and everyone that hath an issue. And you're like, well, Tom, you got a lot of issues. All right. And whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, sorry, ladies, shall ye put out without the camp, shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps, in the midst thereof I dwell. God dwells in the camp. He doesn't want to dwell with, if I got sin in my life, he's telling you guys, look, take Tom and put him out of the camp until he gets it straight. Because I'm dwelling with you and I don't want to be dwelling with him. He's got sin in his life. It's got to go. It's got to go. If you go back to Joshua in verse 5, or where I looked at 5, look at verse 6. Because the sin, they have been defeated in battle in verse 5. And you get to verse 6, and this kind of turns to Joshua and the elders and what how they see it. It says, I'm going to read down here a little bit. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, which is the sun went down dusk. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us out of the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would God be that had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan? O Lord, what shall I say? What shall I say when Israel is turned back from their enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us, means to surround us, round about, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Man, Joshua has no idea. He's like, what has happened? Joshua understood that there was a destruction, that it was coming from God. He said that you delivered to destroy us. He understands that. He understands something has gone wrong, and they're broken and they're on their faces. And they're asking God, what has gone wrong here? See, they don't want to lose the battle. They want to fight. They want to conquer the land in the name of the Lord. They want to be engaged in what God is doing. But something in the midst of the camp has gone seriously wrong, and Joshua is on his face and he's like, Lord, what has happened? I wonder, as a church, we don't move forward and we grow stale. Or there's, God forbid, there's sin in the camp. That if we would come together on our faces and pray till eventide, put dirt on our head and say, Lord, what has happened? See, when we get this way and there's sin in the camp, we lose sight. We get this distorted view of what's going on because he even says, look, maybe it'd been better if we'd have just stayed on the other side. That's the same thing they said back in Exodus when Egypt was rolling down on them and Pharaoh was going to smash them, and they were talking to Moses like, Moses, it'd have been better if we'd have just stayed back there. It all starts to, the flesh just brings up all that old stuff. You know, in the wilderness, they start talking about the water and no food and the murmuring. Well, it begins to sound like that here. Even though it wasn't Joshua, he's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he says this is intriguing here to me. He says, the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and they shall environ us. I think that's right. It's a reproach. Our sin as a church body is a reproach to the name of Christ. And the enemies, it's not an enemy of you and me, it's an enemy of Christ. The lost world, the enemies, they see that. They see the sin in the church, maybe sometimes before we do. And it's a reproach to the name of Christ. It's shameful. I don't want that on my head. I don't want to be the one. If we have 300 people here every Sunday, and everybody's clean as a whistle except me, and we've come to a screeching halt, I don't want that sin on my head. I don't want to be the one that's like, the whole church comes together and is praying, it's like, what is the problem? None of us should want that. We don't want to be a reproach to the name of Christ. It even goes on, and Joshua gets so kind of confused by this thing that he forgets the promises of God about why he really brought him across Jordan to start with. He's worried about cutting their name off from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? We forget God's greatness sometimes in the midst of the battle, in the sin. And Joshua is just, it was crazy. Sin gets so entangled in our life, our thinking gets twisted, and we start to see things different. We lose sight of the promises of God. We think, what happens is we get down, we get into sin and we get down and our flesh just keeps beating on us. It's like, don't remember what you're supposed to be doing, just do what I tell you to do and stay down. It's like I think it's an old Rocky fight or something I was watching one time. And you know how Rocky is, he just keeps getting up and he was just getting butchered out there and he had blood everywhere. And his wife, I think it was his wife, my memory's kind of, but it was one of these movies. And she's like, stay down, Rocky, stay down. And he gets up and he just keeps beating on him. Stay down. And that's what happens. We get down, we trip or something, we get into a little bit of sin. And then our flesh is just like, stay down. Don't get up. And the world is like, follow me. And the adversary, the adversary is the worst. It tells you that you're worthless. Look, you don't even deserve Jesus. You have sinned. You're a worthless piece of junk. Just stay down. If you stay down, at least you won't hurt anybody else. That's what the adversary tells us. But Jesus says, no, remember me and get up and get back in the fight. Our thinking gets so twisted from sin that we don't even... it's a mess. It's just a disaster. In fact, in verse 8, it's so bad. Joshua says, Lord, what shall I say? You're just speechless. And you guys chuckle when I don't even know what to say about it. Joshua didn't either. He's like, I don't even know what to say about this. What am I going to say when they turn their backs on the enemy? Verse 9, and then we'll get to fixing this thing. Verse 10, we'll just go right into fixing it. We're good to go. Verse 10. For the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore layest thou upon thy face? See, God is interested taking care of this sin and getting back on the mission. He doesn't want us to be stuck. He doesn't want us to be down. He wants us to get up. He wants us to engage in the fight. He wants us to run our race. He didn't die for us so we could just lay on the ground the first time we fall and not get back up. He wants us to get up. He wants us to take that sin, take it outside the camp, get healed, leave it there, remember Christ, confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, and get back in the fight. Now, verse 11. Because we got to deal with some things here before we get back in the camp. Israel hath sinned. Man. Okay, so we need to come to grips with our sin. Well, I got an issue. No, you got some sin. Well, I got this problem going on with my wife. I got this problem going on with my kids. I got this little problem going on at work where I've been stealing some stuff. No, you got a sin. You can just call it what it is. We aren't really going to deal with it until we call it a sin. People don't want to talk about their sin, but God's real straight here in 11. Israel has sinned. Now, he's not done. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. So we're against the word of God. For they have taken the accursed thing. Total disobedience to God. They're against his covenant. And they took the accursed thing that they were not supposed to take. See, he says they, that's plural, isn't it? And have also, he's not finished, and have also stolen. Thou shalt not steal. Well, they stole. And dissembled also. You know what that word means? It means to deceive, to be untrue, to lie, to hide. So you know how sin is. We'll take it, we'll be disobedient, we'll go against the word of God, and then we will lie and make up all kinds of stories to justify the sin. But he knew it was wrong. You know how I knew that it was wrong? I know this, because he hid it. If it wasn't a sin, you wouldn't hide it. It's like, look what I've got. I've got this really cool thing God gave to me. No, he takes the stuff that he stole, that God said, don't take that, and he hides it. Because that's what the Bible says right here. And they have put it even among their own stuff. They hid that thing in the middle of their stuff. And you know how it is. We take that sin, and we got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we're running with the Lord. And next thing you know, we pick up the accursed thing against the will of God, against God's word, and we hide it in our own stuff, and we make up lies to justify our sin and tell people all kinds of lies to make them think that we didn't hide that stuff in our stuff. We're a mess, aren't we? And it says, remember me. All I can think about is my stuff that I've got hid. That accursed thing that I've hid. But it's going to be too shameful to bring that stuff out and deal with it. It's too shameful to talk about my sin. It's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be, I really don't want to go to prayer with this. It's just going to be too shameful. Well, let me tell you something. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you've kept that stuff buried in your tent your whole life, and you have inhibited the body from running the race that it's supposed to run, and other people have gotten sick and weak because of our sin, how shameful is that going to be? What kind of testimony is that going to be that we're going to have to explain to Jesus Christ on that day? Well, I just had that stuff, and I just didn't want to bring it out. What impact does that have in eternity on people's lives because we bury our sin and we don't deal with it? It's huge. He goes on to say this. Now, go to verse Okay, go to verse 12. I'm going to pick up 2 points, and then we're going to correct this thing. There's a point in 13, or 12, and a point in 13 I want to just hit on. We're not going to cover the whole verse. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, and he's telling them what they already knew, but turned their backs before their enemy because they were accursed. Now, here's the first point. Neither will I be with you anymore. That's the sin. They got beat from their enemies. But even worse than that, God says right here, neither will I be with you anymore. That is serious. Your fellowship, my fellowship with God, yes, I'm saved. You're not going to lose that. Don't take this wrong. But your fellowship is broken. Your fellowship, my fellowship is broken with God because of sin. He says, neither will I be with you anymore. Go down to 13. I'll come back. Don't worry. I'll get back to the end of that verse. Point number two, up and sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. And I think Joshua knew it by now. O Israel, thou canst not stand before your enemies. Two huge points that ought to rattle your life. If we do not deal with sin, God will not walk with you. Yes, you're sealed, but He is waiting for you to confess your sin and get right so He can walk with you. He will not walk with you, and two, you will not be able to stand before your enemies. So what? When Paul says, look, it's not for my profit, it's for their profit that some might be saved. We have just taken ourselves out of the Great Commission because of sin. How serious are we about running the race that God has put before us? Man. Now turn over to verse 25. We know, verse 25, we know that we need to confess our sin. You're saved. We trip. We stumble. We get into sin. Yes. God says, look, just confess your sin. Just restore the fellowship with me. Just come broken before me. Have that contrite heart. Be humble. I want to put you back in the game. I want to put you on the battlefield. I don't want you to sit there for the rest of your life. I don't want you to be weak and sickly and dead because you're not doing me any good dead. Get back in the race. Verse 25. And Joshua said, and there's a lot of stuff in between there, but you'd have to read it. Why hast thou troubled us? So he's talking to Achan at this point. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him, Achan, right? They stoned him with stones. This is on commandment from the Lord. And burned them with fire. You know, them is talking about his children, his daughters, and his sons. Burned this crazy knucklehead, stole the stuff that he wasn't supposed to steal, committed a sin against the Lord, took the accursed thing, wouldn't repent, and it is so bad that they had to kill his daughters and his sons. They stoned him, they burned him, and then they buried him under the stones. In verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones, unto this day. So the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Sin in the body is terrible. People die from it. The mission is hampered because of our individual sin, because we don't want to get it right. All we got to do is just come straight with the Lord. Back in Corinthians, it says, just remember me. Not unworthily. Confess your sins. Take the Lord's Supper. It's not a time to say, well, I'm not going to take the Lord's Supper because I'm not ready to deal with that sin. That is wrong. Deal with your sin. Remember Jesus. He's the one that's broken for you. It's just our pride because we don't do it. Now look at verse 8. Once you deal with the sin, it's all green lights. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. And we'll just stop there for a second. We dealt with the sin. We're listening to God. And he's talking to Joshua. And he's back in the battle. Okay, now Joshua, get up. Take all of your men of war with you. And then he says this. See? Isn't that cool when God says that? God says this. He says, see? I have given into thy hand the king of Ai. And he restores the victory. You remove the sin. I remove the sin from my life. And God restores the victory. He says, remember me. Usually all we can really think about is ourselves. But Jesus says, remember me. In all of our goings and all of our doings, in all of our busyness, we're to remember him. All the ministry, all the preaching, all the family stuff, all the mission trips, all of the harvest party activity, everything that we do. He says, hey, church, every time we do something, we're to remember him. Because what did it say? Do all to the glory of God? It's hard to do that if I'm always thinking about me. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you.